This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Good morning.
Morning.
My name is Father Bob Deshaies. I'm the former rector, or rector emeritus, they call me now. Big title, you know, at St. Benedict's Episcopal in Plantation, Florida. I retired there 4 years ago, after being there 20 years, and since then I've been working with Food for the Poor and as a supply priest, but the thing I enjoy doing the most is preaching on behalf of the poorest of the poor throughout the Caribbean and raising money to support our ministry to the poorest of the poor in the Caribbean. I'm delighted to be here because St. Joseph's is very dear to me in my heart, because this is the parish where I became an Episcopalian with my wife. We came here in 1988. I had been a former Roman Catholic priest, you know, and kind of not in good terms with the Roman Catholic Church. So we decided we better go to a different church. And this was St. Joseph, my mother's favorite saint. So, you know, it was like, it's a sign. We're going to St. Joseph. Well, we came here, and Father Mike said, "Welcome!" And so we stayed, and we adopted 3 children while we were here. They were baptized here by Father Mike Cassell. And then Father Mike encouraged me to become a priest in the Episcopal Church, so I was received in this church as a priest. And we love this parish. You know, when Father Marty applied to be the pastor here, my wife, I had just become the rector of St. Benedict's about 2 years prior, and she goes, "Oh, you got to apply to go to St. Joseph's, because that's where we belong." And I said, "No, I've been here just too short a time," but she feels that this is the best parish in the diocese.
Yeah.
Yeah, my daughter thinks so too. She's a singer at the Unplugged service this morning. She sings. Her name is Chantal Deshaies. I want to thank the clergy here, especially Wendy and Father, for allowing me to speak here today on behalf of Food for the Poor. I've known Wendy a long time, and I knew her as a layperson when I got here, And she was in youth ministry, and I was in youth ministry with my wife, and we with the Wittens. I don't know if anybody remembers the Wittens. And some of you I still remember. I see some of you that I remember from many years ago. That's 1992, you know, was when I was received as a priest, and then took a parish after that. So, and Wendy's just a great person. You know, you're very fortunate to have her. I find her to be a very gentle soul and very humble. And she's great, a great priest. And Marty, of course, is great too. You are very fortunate to have such wonderful priests. And the third one, I forget her name. I don't know her, but there's a third. Mary. I don't know her, but I know that she's here as well. Years ago, 1983, Food for the Poor was founded in 1983 by a family, a wealthy Jamaican family that were Lebanese, and they were traders. They owned a company called SX Exports and Imports. And Mr. Mahfood, Ferdy Mahfood, had a conversion experience. They were very wealthy people, and they lived in the wealthy part of Kingston, Jamaica, in Stony Hill. Rich, didn't even see the poverty all around them. You know, because when you're rich, you hang around with rich people, you live in beautiful homes, and go to the best schools, etc. But he had a religious conversion, and in that conversion experience, God spoke to him and with Matthew 25, where Jesus said, "Whatsoever you do for the least of my brothers and sisters, you do it unto me." That hit him like a ton of bricks. And from that from that time on, he began to visit all the clergy in Kingston and throughout Jamaica. And he would say, what do you need to lift up the people in your congregation, to lift up the poor, to help them become self-sustaining? Well, you ask a clergyman, what do you need? And you're going to get an earful, believe me. And so the clergy would say what they needed, and he would have it, the purchasers purchase what the clergy asked for the resources they needed, and they would put it in the trailer, ship it down to Kingston, lock it up. You got to lock everything in the third world, believe me. It'll be stolen in a day, less than a day. It's locked up, and then the clergy would come pick up whatever they had asked for. That's how Food for the Poor started. I started working with them in 1985 as their director of development, as their fundraiser and speaker, going around the country speaking on their behalf. And so I'm very passionate about this ministry because I've been involved with them since 1985. Why am I passionate about this ministry? Well, number one, it is a ministry. It's not just an organization. There's a lot of do-gooders throughout the Caribbean, especially in Haiti, that try to do good for other people. And they are good organizations. But we are a ministry because we believe that we are missionaries. And our mission is to provide the missionaries with the resources they need to lift up the poor, to help the poor grow and become self-sustaining. And so my goal is to invite people to make you aware of our ministry and to invite you to become a missionary with the rest of our donors as we provide those resources to the poor in the Caribbean. How many of you are currently a donor of Food for the Poor? Raise your hands. Oh my. Big kisses. Big kisses to all the donors. You know, we love our donors. Our donors are the most important people because without donors to Food for the Poor, there'd be no food for the poor. Food for the Poor relies on our donors. And we have many donors. Not too many of them are wealthy, but they all give what they're capable of giving. And when you start having a million donors, you raise a lot of money and you can do a lot of good. When I first started, we had 6 people at the office on Copens Road. And now we're up to 380 people in our brand new facility on Coconut Creek. On Lions Road. We've gone from a few $100,000 last year to almost $1 billion in business. Unbelievable growth. Why? I believe it's because we are founded in the Word of God. We are founded in that Word where Jesus said, whatsoever you do for the least of my brothers and sisters, you do it for me. So he's going to bless this ministry, and he has blessed the ministry. And we are not only founded in his word, but we believe in the power of prayer. Mr. Mahfoud used to go around preaching about centering prayer because he felt conversion leads to generosity to the poor. When we really love Jesus, it changes us, and we become more aware of our brothers and sisters who have so little throughout the world. So we are a ministry, and all our donors, you, our donors, are missionaries with us as we provide resources to those our missionaries and lay people who run NGOs, which is non-profit organizations, non-governmental organizations throughout the Caribbean. And so we support them as well. We're interfaith and we're interdenominational. Anyone that's doing good for the poor, we support them with the resources that they need to do their jobs. We invite, and I'm here to invite you to become a missionary with Food for the Poor today, to become part of our ministry that has been blessed by God and is making a substantial difference in transforming the lives of the poor throughout the Caribbean. I've seen it with my own eyes. Sometimes you feel like you're just throwing money down a well when you give to a charity. But Food for the Poor is making a difference. And how is it making a difference? It's making a difference because we are developmentally oriented. And let me explain what that means. How many of you know the difference between relief and development? Because we are a relief and development ministry. How many of you know the difference between relief and development? Raise your hands. So few of you? Come on. What's the difference? See, I do tests, so you better be careful when you raise your hands.
Well, relief is when someone's in trouble and you come and take care of that immediate problem. Development is basically when you give them the tools to not end up in that situation again.
Exactly. Did you all hear what she said? Perfect. So you can give the rest of the sermon. Relief is temporary. If I give you a fish, I feed you for how long?
A day.
If I give you, teach you how to fish, how long do I feed you for? For your lifetime. That's the difference between relief and development. We're more developmentally oriented. Now, we'll do relief work. When that earthquake happened in Haiti, remember that? American government sent a lot of money to the Haitian government, which was not a good thing to do because the Haitian government fell apart and all that food rotted on the wharf. And a lot of money stayed in the banks and has not, to this day, been entirely used because of the governments are so corrupt in these poor countries. Now, where was I going with that? Developmental. Yeah, we're mostly developmental. It's, you know what it is? 70. 70 does it to you when I turn. So now, in Port-au-Prince, when I went to the third world, how many of you have been in the third world? Raise your hands. Wow. And where have you been? Yeah. Oh, you've been all over the place. Did it have an impact on you when you visited these countries? Oh, you're a photographer. So you saw poverty at its worst then. It changes you when you see. Visiting a third world country has a tremendous impact on people. It changed my life to see, especially Port-au-Prince. I don't know, have you been to Port-au-Prince? Has anybody here been to Haiti? Port-au-Prince? Others? Yeah? And what did you think? Horrible, isn't it? That guy over there in the back. Yeah. It's life-changing to see that because people live with absolutely nothing. And there's no safety nets for these people like, you know, what we have in this country. Like Social Security and Medicaid and Medicare and all the safety nets we have for not only for the young but for the elderly as well. They don't have any safety nets there. And there's over 100,000 people that squat right on the in the marshes of Port-au-Prince. Presidential Palace is within an earshot of that. And these people live in a place where riverlets go through, because it's a marsh, and it carries all the sewage from the city of Port-au-Prince. People live there in dwellings the size of our bathrooms for an entire family, right on the mud, right in the dirt, made out of cardboard, material, whatever they could find at the dump. And they live in these horrible, horrible places. People in Kingston live on the dump. People in Honduras live on the dump, and they spend their day there gleaning from the dump to find something to eat. And the kids are looking for broken toys or anything they can find that they can play with and take home with them. It's just horrific. It just changed me. It led me to weep at night when I would see this and say, what am I doing here? And when I'd board the plane to come back home, remember the Pope used to get off the plane and kiss the ground? That's what I did. I would get off the plane and kiss the ground and say, thank you, God, that I was born in the United States of America. Because we are blessed with so much, and there's so many people in the world that have so little. And it took a trip like that to open my eyes and change my attitude towards the poor and towards our wealth. We have so much stuff in this country. I know, I have a wife that loves stuff. She's the queen of HSN, QVC, and Zulily. She wears her crown very well. We have so much stuff. And so many people, 80% of the world, have almost absolutely nothing. And we take it for granted. Well, anyways, in that area, I saw the kids running around and playing in these ditches. And women were taking the water out of these ditches and boiling it and cooking in it. The kids are going around with their legs are like sticks. Their arms are like sticks. Distended bellies because of malnutrition. Orange hair. Most die before they reach 5 years old. There's so much illness because of the water is contaminated. They're malnourished. No medications. If you can't feed your kid, how could you buy an aspirin? They can't even afford an aspirin. Unbelievable poverty. And then the one mother said, would you please take my children to the United States and give them a life? Please. What have we done in that area? Developmentally, as well as relief. Number one, we put some concrete blocks, concrete slabs, over some of these rivulets. We brought in fresh water, put in wells, and brought in fresh water into this area. So at least they would have fresh water and the sewage is covered. But our most developmental, those are temporary issues. What is most important is we had a school built by a Salesian priest who later became the president of Haiti. He built a school, and across the street from the school is a clinic. We spend a lot of money and shipments of drugs because nobody has them, and hospital equipment. Because now that mother who sent her kids out every day to forage for food in the dumpsters and at the dump, now she finds out there's a school. And it's free, because government schools you have to pay to go to. Almost all the schools are run by churches throughout the Caribbean, because they have support from U.S. So she finds out that she can send her kids to that school. And the school will provide, thanks to Food for the Poor, shoes for the kids, uniforms for the kids, at least two meals a day, breakfast, lunch, and they take a care package home with them to feed the rest of the family. The kids go to the clinic before anything else because a kid can't learn if the kid is sick. So the kid goes to the clinic, then goes to school. What are we doing there? How can we call that development? What are we doing there? We're feeding what? Their stomach. But what's more important than feeding their stomach? Feeding their minds. Anybody here grow up in poverty of immigrant family? No one? You're all rich Americans? I grew up in poverty. My parents were immigrants from Quebec. And they didn't, you know, there was a language problem, cultural problem, everything. So we grew up in poverty. But what pulled us out of poverty for the boys, the four boys, was education. Education, and all four of us have beyond master's degrees and are very successful. Praise God. But it's because of education, and we see that as development, sustainability, because if you're educated, if you know, and then if you get a skill, then you could take care of yourself. You can help yourself. So now we're building trade schools as well. The Archbishop of Port au Prince is begging us to help him build trade schools because they're hoping to bring some tourism to Haiti. Already, Royal Caribbean goes there, you know, to Labadee. Well, they need to build up something because they have hardly any industry in Haiti. And then what do? If those families that live in these areas, the housing is horrific. So one of our main goals is to provide housing, new homes for these people, and pull them out of these awful places and move them into rural communities that we have built, from 20 to 100 homes. Now, I want you to take this bulletin now and look. This is a hub. Look, that's made out of mud. And this is the home that we build. Two-bedroom home with a family room, a zinc ceiling, concrete block construction lifted off the ground in a rural community. Built by people living in those countries, because the poor are not stupid, nor are they unskilled. They just lack resources. We provide the resources, and the family that is going to move into that house has to help with sweat equity. You know what that is, right? You got to help. And then once you move in, you got to pay it forward to someone else. These homes have proper toilet, running water, and a solar panel, one small, to light a light bulb in the house. This is changing people's lives. It's transforming their lives. Then we send everything that the mother needs to grow a garden, means all agricultural tools, so they grow their own food and not starve to death. We send sewing machines that we buy in Taiwan and other places. Why do you think we buy them on Taiwan instead of buying them in the U.S.? Cheaper, she says. You're thinking first world. Third world thinking is you can't buy a pedal machine in the United States. Don't forget, they have no electricity. So a Singer machine is not going to be very helpful. So we buy pedal machines so they can start micro-industry in their home, assembling garments so you can buy them cheaper here at Walmart's. We teach and we provide the men who are already good fishermen, but they don't have anything. We provide boats, fishing tackle, motors, gasoline, fish pond. Teach them how to do fish farming. And then we put in refrigeration run by solar panels so the fish won't rot. This is changing. These communities are like, it's like dragging people out of complete abject poverty and raising them up almost to middle class, according to. And these homes are just like 500 square feet. They're small, but they're a home. It changes their lives. We've built over 120,000 homes. Last year, we built over 3,000 alone last year. It's changing people's lives. My son died a year, it'll be 2 years in December. He was 26 years old. You know, how many of, has anybody experienced the death of a son or a spouse? You know, it's, you know. You never forget. I carry him in my heart every time I come and preach, so that he's a part of me. But the greatest memorial we received upon his death was Food for the Poor had a house built in St. Elizabeth's, Jamaica, for the Williams family. I cried when we got that memorial. It was so much better than flowers and all the rest of the stuff. Because through his life, through his death, came life for another family. And not just for a year or two, but it'll change that whole family for generations to come. I said, it's that memorial's hanging in my living room. And it's the best thing. And Brandon is thrilled about it because he told me so in prayer. And I challenge this community to consider building a house. If you can get 36 people to give $100, you could have a house built as a parish. Parishes are doing this. There's one parish, I forget where it is, they built 1,000 homes already. There's a little girl, 9 years old, built a whole village of 100 homes. It's incredible what people can do to transform the lives of others, making a difference that's lasting. What a memorial. And we have other programs where we take throwaway kids and we put them in orphanages. But we need sponsors because it costs money to take those kids and put them in orphanages. So we have a sponsorship program. We're always looking for people who will put in wells so that clean water is so important. And animal husbandry. If you look at the picture, there's a picture of a, it says goat. And they reminded me inside, that looks like a lamb, not a goat. I said, I'll have to go back to whoever designed the bulletin. But here it shows what we're doing. See right here? Turn to this. 5.9 million meals a week. 3,797 safe and secure homes. Water to 109,294 people. I mean, we are making a difference, and our overhead is only 5%. And it's because of you, our donors, that this is possible. We need you as fellow missionaries. You don't need to go down there. They don't need you to come down there and do for them. They're quite capable of doing for themselves. What they lack is the resources which we, as donors, provide for them. I'm inviting you this morning to become a donor. I had you raise your hands a little earlier, and I could kiss them, every single donor that's here. But we need everyone in this parish to consider the word of Jesus when he said, whatsoever you do, if it's just a little bit. We don't have a lot of wealthy donors, but we have a billion donors. Now, you add up, if everybody gave $1, a million people, that's $1 million. You see, that's how Food for the Poor believes, and that's how we operate. So we don't expect people to give us big amounts of money. We just expect them to do something, whatever they're capable of giving, because the more we reach, the more we can do to transform lives throughout the Caribbean. And we run mission trips all the time for the purpose not so much to help them, but to help you. Mission trips change the missionaries more than it changes the people. So we run working mission trips where you can go down and actually help build a house, or you can go on a familiarization trip where you see what Food for the Poor is doing so that you come back as an evangelist for Food for the Poor. And we run these all the time. I would like to end, because I can go on and on about Food for the Poor, I just love this ministry. I'd like to end by just inviting you to close your eyes and for a second, thank God for what you have. We forget to do that. We take everything for granted. People go, well, you know, I said, you're lucky to have what you have. Oh, no, I got what I have because I worked for it. We need to be grateful for what we have. If you don't have today, what you didn't thank God for yesterday, you'd probably have nothing because we take it for granted and we don't thank him. So I'm going to invite you now to just close your eyes and with me just praise God and thank him for, you know, you have clean water in your house. You have food in your refrigerator. Praise God. You have a house. You have a bed that you slept in rather than sleeping on mud or dirt. You have clothes. And sometimes it's hard to pick out what we're going to wear today. You had coffee this morning, probably breakfast, or you're still full from last night. You have air conditioning. Thank you, God, for air conditioning, especially in Southwest Florida. You have a car. You drove to church. You didn't have to walk. You have a job. Or if you're retired, praise God, you're on Social Security and Medicare and pension. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, I just love being retired. And I praise God for that. And I praise God for my health. Why? Because we have medicines that are easily available to us, aren't they? Heart medicine, blood pressure medicine, medicine for diabetes, which extends our lives and keeps us fit. Praise God that we have these things. Thank God for yourself, for your faith. Praise God that we're heaven bound, that we have a purpose. And our purpose is to love one another, because love is what it's all about. Thank you, God, for my family, for my daughter who's going to have a baby in 2 weeks, second child, second grandkid. Praise God for my wife, my friends, my church. Praise God for from whom all blessings flow.
Amen.